subdivision and rezoning of south side of Leela Avenue between Agnes Arnold Drive and Dunham Street. And the variance of south side of Leela Avenue between Agnes Arnold Drive and Dunham Street.
Chairman asks that the communications from Jaskirat Singh Kera and from there were two communications here. I'd move they form part of the record.
Okay, I'll call the applicant up. Pardeep Buller. Good evening, and name and address for the record, please.
Pardeep Buller, 27 Corlan Bay. We have a presentation this evening that we can get the projector going. Informed that the projector takes a couple of minutes to warm up. I know it's been a long night, so hopefully we won't be long.
We'll be long.
By the way, it's a privilege and an honor to be, I think, the last item on the Councillor O'Shaughnessy's agenda.
Yeah, I'm going to die.
Hopefully not.
We all are.
was supposed to be done before.
People have resigned. It's good. It's going to be probably good. It's important. I would like to see for you before the election, at least the first couple of pieces of the noise attenuation.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't know if that's going to
happen. Just do half of it.
We could. We could.
But I wish you'd get that thing working. I'd like everybody to be able to see it. Of course, you wish it were going too, I guess.
They're just going to reboot their computer.
I have a degree in computers.
It's just
the
school that's on the computer.
Yeah, no.
The screen
is nothing on that.
Yeah, I mean, it changes because they have the computer.
There it is.
All the.
It's rebooting.
Went blank. That's all.
Password. Put in your password.
Oh, there.
There it is. There it is.
Hey.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Computer wasn't turned on. That's it.
A kick always works. Basically, I'll start out while it's going, because we have a limited time. There's basically three pieces to our presentation. One is that I'd like to acknowledge and thank the residents. They've been involved with the process of the community consultation over the last couple of years, and they've taken their time out, including today, to be here. Not just the last 2 years, but there was a previous application. So if you count the last application, it's been 7 years that the community's been involved with this piece of property. The three sections basically are, first part is the community consultation process, which I'll address. And I have my associate, Ross Mitchell, who will be explaining the development proposal details. And then we have some comments on the ACG report and the planner's report recommendations. You don't see the screen on there again.
It's the communication. The screen's working. It's just not getting an image to it. They had windows coming. The screen's doing fine. It's not getting any image to the screen. That's the problem.
Dry runs first before they overcome these things.
Yeah. Let's go. If he gets it up at any point, good. Let's go.
Sorry. We'll go through this. We have some printed material as well that will assist us. Basically, first part is the site is 15 acres of land on the corner of extension of Mandalay. Future extension of Mandalay and Cornell Leela Avenue. I think the councilors are aware, as well as the planner, that there was a previous application a few years back on this property. It called for 1,044 proposed units and about 200 units, development of 200 units prior to opening of Mandalay Avenue. At that time, Leela Avenue did not exist. It ended at Agnes Arnold. And currently, Leela Avenue is extended all the way up to Ritchie Street with the plan for a future four-lane divided road. As far as the community consultation process, we looked at the recommendation from the planning department from the previous application, as well as our own research. And we held a first public open house on April 22nd, 2008. Basically, I'd like to state that I've lived in the neighborhood for 35 years. I currently live about a block and a half away from the current site, and I hope to build my new residence on this site. So based on that and being involved with the community, the plan that we put forward in 2008 for an open house to get feedback from, preliminary feedback from neighborhood residents was based on that information. We received feedback at the public open house, which was held at the Maples Community Church immediately adjacent to the property. We distributed approximately 300 flyers to the neighborhood, going all the way up to Dunham, Jefferson, Mandalay, as well as the houses that were present on north side of the property. We had about 110 people in attendance at the open house, and we had 49 people who filled out information feedback forms. We had on the presentation the area that we distributed the flyers to. Now, the preliminary plan basically called for a mixed-use development with the various mix of houses and different mix of residential and multifamily, a plan that basically we thought was suitable for the neighborhood.
Why did he turn it off?
I think we're up.
He had it on. He went off. There. I'll click on an icon. And let's
excuse
go.
Me, 10 seconds.
Click on an icon. I can do this. I haven't seen a cursor click on one of those things yet. Yeah, but he's not. Why is he not?
Change the resolution to higher. Sorry, I'll continue. The preliminary plan called for approximately 300 mixed-use development units. There were 34 townhouse condominium units that were situated on the west side of the property, 24 bungalow side-by-side condominiums that were the transition area on the south side, and we had 47 senior condos and 100 life lease and assisted living units, which were situated on the north east corner of the property. And we had a small community services center. During that open house or the feedback that we received, we took time to look at all of the items that were of concern to the neighbors, and we went back and working with a plan to revise and amend the plan accordingly to make the plan suitable for that. Some of the concerns that were addressed was development should be single-family homes only, Mandalay should not be extended, there was issues with density, transition, traffic, access, design, drainage, effect on the property values, noise, and crime issues. Those, the previous planner for the area, Mr. Robinson, was in attendance at that meeting. So following that, what we did was we went to the neighbors and we formed an advisory committee. We asked the immediate neighbors who were interested and who filled out forms that they would be like to be contacted with information. We and the people that were interested, we asked them to join the advisory committee to help us in formulating revised plan. We held our first meeting of the advisory committee on April 6, 2010. There were 36 people in attendance. Mr. Glendoni was also invited and did attend that meeting. We addressed issues with why single-family only development was not feasible for the area, some of the off-site costs related to the development. The aspects relating to roads, access, density, transition were also discussed, and we distributed meeting minutes from that first meeting to all the participants as well as the planner. Hit the slideshow.
And just change the size.
Okay. If you scroll down, so I'm just following through this. Following the first advisory committee meeting, we had interest from several the residents that asked us to meet with them on an individual basis, particularly the residents on Deepwater Cove and Keynes Crescent. We had two meetings, two individual meetings with those residents because to address concerns immediately behind or adjacent to their property. Following those two meetings, we worked on the details of the plan with the neighbors, and then we had a second meeting of the advisory committee, where we presented all the changes that we made to that plan. At that meeting that was held on May 15, 2010, there was 32 people in attendance. Plan changes and amendments we discussed, planning department preliminary input we provided as far as the road changes and so forth. One of the concerns that residents had was with the transition area, and our proposal was for bungalow-style condominiums abutting on to current residential. We elected to allow the residents to have a choice if they want the single family, if they're adamant about that, and with the majority consensus was that they would prefer single family homes immediately adjacent to their current residential properties. Therefore, we amended the plan accordingly, and the plan that you see today in front of you is based on that consultation. Again, all the meeting minutes were sent to the area planner as well as all the participants. Subsequent to that, we held a public open house on August 21st, 2010, where we presented pictorials and renderings as to how the development would look and the finalized plan. And there was a few changes that were related to the ACG report and with the Parks Department that were also incorporated and discussed and explained at that time. Mr. Glendoni was also in attendance at that open house. Now, as a result of the public consultation changes, we changed the configuration of the roads. The original plan called for two L-shaped roads, one to the east side of the property, one to the west, and it was recommended that there should be two cul-de-sac type turnaround roads. Number two was that we removed entirely all the townhouses that were abutting the west side of the property and replaced those with single-family housing. Number three was that Polaris building, which is on the west side of, the, of Mandalay, was reduced from five-story to three-story in height. 4954 condominium building, which was planned for the southeast corner of the property, was entirely removed from the plan. And the North Point Lookout building was reduced from five-story to four-story. Green space was added and expanded on to the existing Keynes tot lot green space, and current plan approximately doubles the size of the current green space that's available there. And again, we provided option for single-family homes or bungalows, and the residents were in favor of single-family homes. Therefore, we proceeded to submit the plan as per single-family homes. Now, I'd like to turn this over to Mr. Mitchell to go into the details of the development.
Thank you. In any event, my name is Ross Mitchell at 10 Prairie Way. This is my address. Mr. Chairman, it's a pleasure to be here tonight to represent this developer and this fine development. Also, the significance of this event is not lost upon us. This will be your last hearing, Councillor O'Shaughnessy. As a matter of fact, Mr. Chairman, the face of this committee will look very different in another month. We hope your face is still part of it, and we certainly hope Harry Lazarenko recovers. I would like to thank the staff, too, Inga, for your patience, and the district planner, Glenn, and the development agreement engineer, Shirley, for assisting us with getting this development to this point in time. As it is your last hearing, I'm going to do my best to stretch it out just as long as we can. But it is good that the audience have been so patient with us. Technology. So I'll just, again, I don't have the benefit of the full presentation, but with my trusty pointer, I will just run through a couple of the highlights of the project. I would urge you, if you have any questions, Mr. Chairman, I would urge you to just stop me and ask, and I'll try and address it. So this is an oblique, looking south towards the Maples. We have Amber Trails here and Leela and Mandalay. And so just generally, as you're familiar with the development, we've got single-family homes arrayed to provide sort of a buffer existing single-family development on Cairns and Olford. And across the street here in Amber Trails, you just catch a corner of the houses that are on Basil. And Leela is currently constructed as a two-lane on the south side of the right-of-way, so there will be another two lanes adjacent to Amber Trails. So essentially, I'll just run through the development. Here we have, I believe it's 16 homes arrayed along the east or the west side of the Mandalay extension to Leela, and we have 9 homes arrayed along the east side of the Mandalay extension. These two elliptical buildings are both, they're conceptually shown as 3-story mixed-use buildings with ground floor commercial, retail, personal service, and 2 residential floors. It's proposed that these are condominium buildings.
How many feet high are they?
Well, I believe the zoning agreement will limit them to 45 feet.
How high is the peak of a 2-story home?
Well, the zoning bylaw, I believe, allows for a, is it 35?
35 is allowed in the R1.
Okay, so it's 10 feet higher than the 2-story homes in the area.
Yeah. And these have
flat roof.
These have flat roofs.
Yeah.
And so the developments, I don't know, you probably won't recall the names. This is the Aurora, this is the Polaris. Up front we have what they're calling the North Point. It's a 4-story building. It's proposed to have 3 floors of residential and 1 floor of, again, neighborhood scale retail or service commercial. On the other side, we have the Horizon. It's a 2-story mixed-use building with office on the second floor and, again, small-scale retail, commercial, personal service on the main floor. And then we have the Northern Vista, which is proposed to be a seniors complex. It's right now it's conceptually shown as a 5-story building, again, conceptually with 100 units. 40 of those would be life lease and 60 would be assisted living. And the park, the Cairns tot lot is back here. Again, there's been some changes to the plan from the time the application was made to the time it was advertised, so we'll we'll get into that later. Basically, the mixed-use component is here. It's probably about maybe three-fifths of the site is mixed-use, and the balance of single-family to buffer the existing area. There were a number of perspectives, nice renderings. Councillor O'Shaughnessy has the benefit of them that show each particular building from a particular perspective. Again, without benefit of the presentation, it's hard to see those. Any luck? Yeah. Maybe I'll just go on and talk generally about the development. It is, in my experience, possibly the first truly mixed-use development that's come along in the city. It represents the principles of smart growth that are espoused, I believe, in the our Winnipeg document. This is the kind of development that the planners would like to see more of. Introducing slightly higher density developments to suburban areas, introducing a mix of housing styles for it's really a life cycle development. You can get into it at an early age and hopefully stay in the neighborhood with the seniors housing component. It provides local neighborhood community-oriented commercial services, retail, personal service, offices, things that places that people can walk to. It's a walkable neighborhood and encourages active transportation and cycling and walking. It will lead to an enlargement of the Canes Tot lot to the benefit of the existing neighborhood. I think it's, again, and as reflected in the planner's report, it's something it's supported and the planners would like to see more of in the city. Leela, there's some issue with Leela and connecting Mandalay to Leela. That is in the streets and transportation plan, of course. And this development advances that, but it would have certainly happened at some point in the future. So it does, it's a good development. It provides housing choice and it will be become sort of a focal point for the neighborhood, a place to congregate and shops and stores to visit. So I think it will add tremendously to the quality of life of the local residents and the range of services that are available to them. Do you have any questions on the particular buildings or the anything relating to the site plan or?
Seemed to me to be almost every building had a commercial component.
Well,
this is a residential neighborhood. I'd like to see maybe a store people could walk to buy milk, but mm-hmm. we have in the middle of the Maples, a commercial development with a garden market, IGA, I think it's empty. People get in their mm-hmm. car and they go to McPhillips. I've lived there, bought my first house there in 1972, still live there. People, I think, getting away from the car culture, would be nice to have a small neighborhood service, whether it be a food store or mm-hmm. whatever, and not 24-hour either. But you seem to be having commercial in all four of those buildings.
Well, the zoning permits it. I think the concept...
Yeah, are we going to permit it?
Well, that's up to you. That's up to you.
I'm not playing to the audience for my last meeting.
Yeah.
I do want to see a development on this land because
right.
I want to see Mandalay go through, which is the final promise I had as a councillor mm-hmm. to the people. But at what price? The height is down. That's good. The overall number of units seems okay. But what are you doing in these buildings? That's what I'd like you to answer now, because that's the biggest thing that's scaring me right now is what's going on in these buildings. I don't want cars whipping around these buildings all the time. I don't want people coming in at 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't want it the staging area for taxis. I want it to be a neighborhood housing. We know it's going to be a little more dense, but we want it as low as possible. We want as little concrete as possible while still providing enough parking for the people who are going to live there. And if it can provide some amenity for the local people, good. But we're not looking at another shopping center. So, Pardeep, could you allay my fears?
I completely understand, Councillor Shaughnessy, and as I stated, I'm going to live right on this site. I understand the concerns of the neighborhood as well. There's a few items that I'd like to say. First of all, there's a large development to the north of this property. It's all single-family homes, and it stretches way out to Templeton and further off to Ritchie.
And you live at it, and I'm going to give them all your address.
What we're proposing on the site as far as commercial goes and with the discussion with the area planner, we have discussed as we go forward in development of the site, it's going to be a phased process and phased development. We are going to look at market and see what we can support. We're not calling for any 24-hour services. There are no gas stations. There's no 7-Elevens. There's no Tim Hortons. Where we're talking about a pedestrian-friendly environment that neighbors could walk to, sit down on a patio, have a cup of coffee, and limit the number of cars going by and parking. Now, we are proposing residential parking is all underground on all of these buildings. The only surface parking that we have is provided for those services. And it refers to, actually I'll go forward, and one of the items that Mr. Doney, the planner, recommended is the limiting the number of units. Now, we have two buildings that are three stories, and Mr. Doney recommended that the number of units be limited to 40 units. We are proposing 32 units. However, we would like to have the option open so that we can convert the main floor to residential, given what services. The intent of the services are light, community-oriented services. We're talking about accountant, a doctor, a physiotherapist, a flower shop. Those kind of services are what's proposed. And I believe that it is a major artery. The planning department does support a mixed-use development. And we, myself included, as a resident of the neighborhood, wouldn't like to see any high density that you see at IGA or across from the Maples Community, Maples School. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions of the applicant?
No, but I do have a question of our administration before we hear from others, if the applicant's finished.
Yes.
Okay.
So actually,
one more item.
Well, yeah.
We're not rushing anybody.
No. We'll just go through quickly. We have some requested amendments to the ACG.
Can you do that in your summation?
Sure.
Sure. Absolutely. I don't really think these people are that much interested in those thicknesses of pavement and... that kind of stuff. If you could save that to the end.
All right. There's a couple changes to the zoning agreement as well. Now, I don't know if they have to be dealt with.
If they're of interest to the public, say them now, because you can't add new information, but we will allow
All right. Well, the changes to the, and I've discussed these changes. We've discussed them with Ms. Mateel. She's aware of them. There's three. We're requesting a deferment of payments for Leela and Mandalay related to the issuance of development permits. We're asking that that there be a credit for the sidewalk constructed in front of adjoining properties to the benefit of other properties.
Just slow down. You're going awfully fast here. You're talking about deferment of payments.
Well, I mean,
for Leela.
We can. Do you want to do this now, Councillor?
Well, you're telling me these are things you want that aren't in the ACG report. They're in the planner's report.
No, we can defer it.
Well, then why did he say they weren't? But these were things from the
These report. Items are in the ACG report. The planner's report.
Let's deal then. Deal with the planner's report.
Okay.
First,
the planner's report. First of all, there's a departure. You might have noticed that the application that the advertisement. Showing the plan differs from what the proposed Schedule A is. And there's two changes, and we are in support of those.
We're looking at Winnipeg Public Service recommendation.
Yeah. Now, if you
start
look at,
with number one. Number one or not like number one? Let's go. If you got to do it, let's go through it in order when we're finished.
Well, we only have comments on a few of them, so
good.
Why don't
what,
I just skip to those?
Number? What item number?
A2.
2A or 2II? What is it?
Yeah, AII.
AII. That for only proposed blocks 4 to 7? Is that the one?
Right.
Okay.
Now, number B. The planner recommended that certain uses be conditional that are currently permitted under the zoning bylaw.
And that would mean to the public that these uses could not happen unless there was another public hearing.
Another public hearing.
And the council of the day agreed.
Okay. Now, we're in agreement with A, community recreation center, B, post office carrier depot, and C, gallery and museum. We're in agreement with those being in conditional use. The chances of that ever coming forward are slim to none. The uses D, E,
There is D, G, E, F.
Yeah, well, the numbers are kind of confused. I'll say the uses. We would like restaurant, office, personal services, retail sales, and medical, dental, optical counseling clinics permitted as of right. As that is, we would not want to come back to apply for conditional uses for these. I mean, when you're leasing space, sometimes weeks, months are the difference between leasing the space and not. So any kind of delay like that through conditional use and a possible appeal could jeopardize the mixed-use component to the point where if there are people out there interested in providing these local services, they might be frightened away over the prospect of a conditional use. Is that?
That's where you are.
Okay. Now,
down to III, unless you're skipping, I hope.
Now, A6, which applies to blocks 4 through 7.
There should be no more than 40 dwelling units.
Right.
Okay.
We would appreciate it if it's actually to permit 54 units instead of 40. We would.
2A6, Ross?
Yes.
That applies to blocks 4, 5, and 7.
Right.
Not block 6.
4, 5, and 7.
Right.
We would like the number 54 to increase to 60 in the event.
It's at 40. So there's no number 54.
The
There shall be no more than 40.
We would like to that number increased to 60 in the event that that building, that the two elliptical buildings are entirely residential as opposed to commercial, if there is no main floor commercial component.
Still all with all, and you got enough underground parking to handle 60 units? Okay. So if the height didn't change, they couldn't pull a fast one and get a fourth story in here or anything. We just allowed the main floor to go either way.
Yeah, they couldn't go over 45 feet.
Yeah, okay. So that's not
without
changing.
Without a ZAA.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
Now, the plan changes. Block 3 was advertised as RML.
Excuse me. Can we get one thing straight? Can we add, shall not exceed, with the 45 feet in height, add 3 above ground floors, shall not exceed 3 above ground floors and 45 feet in height? 45 feet, you can get four stories in quite easily with a flat roof. We don't want a four-story building there because that's what was sold or not sold to the people.
I understand completely. I would concur with that. The only reason that we discussed this with the planner, and the only reason was that given if you had main floor commercial, the atrium and so forth, we can't at this time determine whether it's going to be 10 feet or 12 feet or 14 feet. Therefore, we were okay with the restriction on the heights as compared to actually putting a number
as long
of...
As it's with the stories as well.
Okay.
You can make the stories within.
Agreed. We'll concur with that.
Okay. Good. So you're asking that the 40 be changed to 60, but still within the three stories. So if you don't go with any commercial on the ground floor, you could make it all residential.
That's...
Still with all underground parking.
That's correct, Councillor. As you stated, you know, if we want to limit, if we look at the market and see what actually goes,
yeah.
We would like to have that option to convert that to residential.
Yeah.
So those are the changes
what
to
about
the...
7? You're happy with the 70 units and the 60 feet there? Only,
yes.
Only under 6 that you want to change. And then the limited uses, you want some changes. Okay.
That is correct.
That's all for the whole planner's report, 10 items?
Well, we're just going to acknowledge the changes that were made to the plan itself from what was applied for and what was advertised. Essentially, on Block 4, it was applied for C2, and it was changed in the advertisement to RMU.
No, in the planner's report.
Or in the,
speak up. Please.
Well, the planner's report and the schedule that's recommended to be attached to the approval is RMU on Block 4. It was a C2 is applied for. The planner is requesting RMU. We're accepting that change.
So there'll be no commercial C2. Zoning,
no
C2 zoning anywhere in this development. Okay.
And the planner also on Block 3, the advertisement was for RMF, multifamily, dash L.
That's four-story building, whatever you said.
Yeah, it's the seniors-oriented building.
Yeah.
And the planner's requesting, or the Schedule A reads, has lowered that zoning to RMFM for medium. So basically the RMFL allowed... one unit for every 400 square feet of lot area. This the zoning that the planner recommends would allow one unit for every 800 square feet of. So it's actually a reduction in the density on that particular block.
And you're fine with that?
We're fine with it. We think we can work with that, yes.
So you've given me some changes you want. You've given us, some changes you want in the report of the planner. Now you're ready for the ACG report?
Yes, we can deal with the ACG.
May as well do it all.
Okay. All right.
Wait a second.
You've got...
Well, you ask him.
Okay. What about Schedule A showing the public streets extending to Leela? Is that how you want them?
Yes.
Because the planner's report references them.
Yes, that's how we want them, as shown on the Schedule A.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's what I'm recommending.
Councillor Shaughnessy, we did discuss with the planner that. I don't think we should be doing. There will be public walkways, public access from the end of those cul-de-sac bulbs to Leela. I don't have my magic pointer, but
yeah.
Pretty. So there will be access. Again, the intention was to make this a walkable neighborhood. So as the advertised plan showed, those streets connecting to Leela. But the Schedule A plan that the planner's recommending and that we endorse, we support, has two cul-de-sac bulbs with public walkways leading to Leela. And so that's supported by the Public Works Department.
So will there be, if this goes ahead, will there be any vehicular direct access to Leela, or will all vehicular access be to Mandalay?
It's to Mandalay. There will be. Okay. There's a private approach here serving these two blocks, and a private approach over here.
Okay, so there will be direct access to Leela.
There is from these developments, but
so
not.
So you're not necessarily saying that all
right.
residents of the area will have to go Mandalay.
Yes.
Will be able to go straight to Leela.
Well, no, not these residents in the multifamily blocks. They'll be able to access Leela directly. These cul-de-sacs only serve
the single family.
These homes.
Yeah.
They're single-loaded
so
cul-de-sacs.
Those homes. What's the number? 45.
These homes. There's 9 on this side and 16 on this side.
Okay, so these 25 homes, their only means of access will be to Mandalay. But the multiple will have access directly to Leela.
To Leela, and these
which doesn't encourage the larger number of people to travel into the main.
Right.
It encourages them to use Leela. Okay.
There's no access from these sites onto Mandalay or the cul-de-sacs.
Okay.
They all access off Leela.
So the people on the cul-de-sacs have a private street, and they use Mandalay. The people in the multifamily slash commercial slash whatever enter and exit directly from Leela.
That's correct. We worked with the neighborhood. Basically, they wanted to limit the traffic onto Mandalay. Only the single-family homes have direct access.
Okay. Thank you.
What I understand is that Block 6 and 7 would have access from Leela, and there would also be an access from Mandalay.
Where? Which ones? They're not numbered as 6 and 7. Often.
The west side of the property, if you look at the two buildings on the west side of Mandalay, those would require a private approach off of Mandalay, since that we need a secondary approach. And
so
Leela.
They have both.
They have both. Because Leela is not
side?
Long enough on that side to provide.
The buildings on the other side?
The buildings on the other side all have access only to Leela.
The three buildings there have
That's
access
correct.
Only to Leela.
Okay. Only to Leela.
Thank you.
An approach
mm-hmm.
here.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Thank you.
Now, we'll just deal with the ACG report. We'll start with.
Get there.
First of all, we'd like to say that the off-site costs of this development are significant, and we're requesting that they be staged, phased in according to the development phasing. That is when development permits are taken out on certain of these blocks, that would trigger payment for Mandalay and Leela, and I'll get into that as well.
How would you like that staged?
I'll get into the details.
Get into it now. Let's
okay. Go. Basically, on clause 6 deals with Leela sewer and water.
Hang on.
The developer is required to pay for service installed by others, water main and land drainage sewer. Now, we would like that clause deleted and replaced with, and I believe, I'm not sure if Ms. Mateel has a copy of the recommended changes, But basically, that prior to the issuance of a development permit for Blocks 4 and Block 6, that the payment, that the payment for the sewer and water installed by others in Lila would be triggered.
What are Blocks 4 and 6?
Blocks 4 and 6 are these two blocks on the other side of Mandalay.
Okay.
Fronting Lila.
Okay.
Now, Block 11, or Clause 11 deals with Lila roadworks, pavements, boulevard, sodding, landscaping, all that. Again, we would like payment for those improvements, again, to be tied to development permit applications on blocks 6 and 7.
Which ones are they?
We've got a pointer malfunction. These two.
Oh, you just gave me those two. Those were the last ones you gave me.
Yeah, but that was a separate clause.
It's not going to have all the payments wait there, and then you do those last, and you pay nothing until you've got all the money, and then you walk away from those two buildings and don't do them. That's not happening. Each one is supposed to be for different buildings.
Oh, well, if you want to do it that way, fine.
Well, that's what I thought you were doing.
No, they were tied to
those. So you pay nothing until we're saying you build the last building?
When those buildings are developed, and they will be developed, they would trigger the Lila services.
Yeah. Okay. When do you pay for Mandalay?
Mandalay would be tied to the development of blocks 5 and 7.
Forget the blocks.
Okay.
Where? The single-family homes?
Sorry, Councillor, let's sum it up in layman's terms, okay? Basically, the single-family homes.
Because they only get out onto Mandalay.
Right, so we'll extend Mandalay up to the end of...
Mandalay is paved before you build anything. It's the first street built. Then you build the single-family houses at the same time, and they get out, and they can't be occupied until Mandalay's complete, because... Fire wouldn't allow that.
We do need a secondary access. We understand that, and we discussed that.
With primary access is Mandalay.
We were hoping to defer some of the cost and recoup some of the cost from the single-family homes to build Mandalay.
Yeah.
But at least the pavement.
Well, how could you, Shirley, Glenn, help me? You couldn't possibly build the single-family homes and have them occupied without Mandalay being built and open, because it's their only means of egress, because their cul-de-sac ends.
Yeah, I think that they want us to build Mandalay up to here, not here.
Well, they didn't say that.
Here. Do you want to, are you asking to just build Mandalay up to the proposed east-west public street?
That's correct. We'll extend.
From the south.
We'll extend Mandalay. We will also limit the construction traffic to go to Lila, but all we're asking for is the cost of the pavement, which is a major cost, to be deferred until we get to recoup some costs. So we would like that tie to the two oval buildings that are just north of those cul-de-sacs. And the final item is the cost of Lila, the land drainage, as well as the pavement. Ms. Mateel had a conversation a few days ago, and she indicated that any payments that we are responsible for towards Lila are not going to the developer to the north, therefore the future twinning of Lila.
Absolutely not. Those monies go to GenStar, because GenStar put Lila. And if Lila wasn't there, you couldn't do a development. And if the city thinks, or you think, that you are going to take that money and use it for something we're never going to build, because Lila will not be four-lane divided in any of our lifetimes, that is crazy. The city made GenStar build Lila, and it made GenStar build Pipeline Road, even though it didn't have any houses fronting on any of those streets at the time. They do up here, right? Yes. But they built millions of dollars worth of Lila with the city endeavoring. Well, the single-family houses on the north side of Lila never paid a cent, because the previous councillor of the area rezoned it when it was all Bald Prairie for his friends with no conditions. So, GenStar is out that money forever. Now, the city has said it will endeavor, and you're saying now they will not endeavor? They'll keep it, scoop it for themselves? Not bloody likely.
Councillor, I'm only referring to information that was provided.
Well, I'm saying right now that money goes to, because I was just told on the previous item, oh, that goes to the developer, even though it says it goes to the city. Can I not trust our own people now? Are they going to keep this money? Not in my lifetime. I'm going to change the thing to say that the money shall be paid by the city immediately to, once it's received by the city, to whoever built the dam services. That's ludicrous. Are you telling me that someone in the city's administration told you when you paid the money, they were going to use it for widening Leela and not give it to GenStar?
My understanding was that that was the communication to me, that the monies are for future twinning of Leela, and therefore I was right in requesting a deferral.
GenStar was only to pay for 12 feet of it. By the way, GenStar had give us money when they did Mandalay West and Chaparral and all those streets to pave Leela. You know what we used it for? The four-lane divided for pipeline to McPhillips, because we needed it for all the traffic coming out of there. And GenStar knew it and said, fine. But now they have to repay up there, and there is no money to do the other four-laning. And that's the city's responsibility. And I was told, and everybody should hear this, I was told that the two lanes that GenStar did put in, the Streets and Transportation Department is considering the city's two lanes, and if the other two lanes ever go in, they'll be by local improvement to the residents along Leela. You know when they're going to approve that? Hell will have frozen over. So this may be my last meeting, but I ain't going out quietly. And I have nothing against a form of your development, because we need Mandalay, and we're not going to have all R1. Isn't this little pretty world? Those days are indeed done. But we're not here to have money sitting in a drawer in the city for 40 years, never to be used. That money's going to GenStar, or we ain't collecting it.
That's fine, Councillor. The only thing we're requesting is
the deferral. Not collecting it. You like that part? We're collecting.
We're familiar with the cost, too.
So I'm going to have to make sure the wording of all these clauses, that when they pay, to be forwarded to whoever provided the services. Because if, who did that? Not in public, but I want to know, because it wasn't you. Go ahead. Sorry.
I guess there was some misunderstanding regarding that item, and basically, as we stated, what we'd like to do is defer, phase those costs in three pieces. We have to build the two cul-de-sacs and extend portion of Mandalay in the first phase of the development, and we would like to tie the concrete pavement of Mandalay to the development permits for the two oval buildings on the north of the cul-de-sacs, and we are prepared to pay for all the costs.
So what you're asking for, you only build Mandalay from Leela to the cul-de-sacs at the time you're building the single family?
No, sir. From the existing end of Mandalay to the cul-de-sacs.
Okay. So you extend Mandalay
yes.
to the cul-de-sacs.
Correct.
To the northern terminus of the cul-de-sacs.
Correct. And build 25 single-family homes.
Then you build two oval buildings.
Correct.
And
prior
you
to that, we
pave Mandalay.
Correct.
Before they're open. And then when you construct the three other buildings, or any of them, you pay the services in Leela.
Correct.
When you start the front section.
Correct.
I can live with that.
Thank you.
Remember, that doesn't mean I can live with the whole development yet.
You got I understand.
To hear a lot of people first.
Clauses we'd like relief from. Clause 12, the turning lane in Leela, left turn storage lane, westbound
How
Leela.
How can it be a storage lane when it's only a two-lane street?
Well, future, that's one of the points.
How do we leave it in that if the city builds it before 2015, the turning lane, you'll pay.
Agreed.
Just
2020.
GenStar did the same thing along Pipeline Road, because it's never going to happen. If they build it, all the better. Okay.
And there's a clause. Clause 17 requires the developer to construct sidewalks from Agnes Arnold, yeah, in front of the Christian Brethren Church, and also on the west side of development over to Dunham Place.
On the west side, beyond the end beyond. Of the development. That's in how many backyards? Like six or seven only?
Yes.
Or five?
Five.
What we saw.
Sorry?
He's thinking.
Trying to think. Not a good at it. You shouldn't be paying these things, but we're never going to pave them otherwise.
Well, Councillor, I understand that, and I know there's a need for it and a requirement for it. So we are not objecting to building it. We'll upfront the cost. However, we think that our cost should be, the end result of the cost should be limited to our fronting onto our property, given that it's 1,400 linear feet.
Yeah, so who's going to pay for the rest? The church?
What?
The people
no,
who
sir.
Have backyards?
What we're proposing is what they're asking for us to pay for on Leela for the land drainage and the concrete pavement, that it should be credited, that sidewalk portion
oh, so
should be credited against
GenStar
it.
GenStar should pay for the sidewalk then?
Well, the reason we brought it up is because I was understanding that it was supposed to be for the other side. Now that you clarified it.
There's not going to be anything on the other side. The other side will be end up being a boulevard because there'll be two lanes of pavement for your grandchildren.
That's fine. Then I recognize that we need those sidewalks in front of the church and that, and I would concur that we would.
I don't want to force kids onto the street.
No, absolutely not, including my own kids.
And I can't charge the church. It just ain't in me.
Well, I believe the initial.
They won't pay.
The initial request was to credit the cost of that portion of the sidewalks along those other property lines, credit against the future payment on Leela.
Which means
GenStar pays. And they, believe me, they made a lot of money, but they paid for it, for the privilege. Okay. Is that the last clause?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, again, Councillor O'Shaughnessy's record of service to this city and his community has been remarkable, and he's certainly made it a pleasure working on behalf of both the public citizens of Winnipeg at large and the development community and the consultant community. It's been a pleasure working with Councillor O'Shaughnessy. He'll be missed.
You'll get a chance to come back. I'll now call
on
those in support. Jatinder Gill. Okay. Derek Davey. Wish to speak?
Are you kidding? Okay. Can
you speak? Of course.
He's going to speak. Good evening. Name and address for the record, please.
My name is Derek Davey, and I reside on 110 Allford Crescent. And respect for the neighbors, I'll make this about 30 seconds. As mentioned, I live in Allford Crescent, and I speak in support of this application. I am not completely happy with this proposed planned development. I, like most residents, would like single-family dwelling in this development. However, the current plan has enough features and curbside appeal that I can support this application. 6 years ago, I assisted with many friends here to reject an application by another developer. This new applicant was sent back several times to the drawing board to propose what would I consider complementary to our current neighborhood. This parcel of land, friends, will be developed one day. It will develop sooner or later. I support the current proposed plan for future plans by a new applicant may not have features that will complement our neighborhood. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next up is Kuldip Buller. Okay. Ruby Gill. Okay. David Goyer. Okay. Anyone else who wishes to speak in support of the application? Okay, we'll move now to those in opposition. Gary and Kim Yankee. You wish to speak? No? Okay. Harold and Maxine Swick.
Harold's right here.
Okay. Oh, you have to move to the back. Just move to the back.
Not you, Harold. Keep coming.
Good evening, sir. Name and address for the record, please.
For the record, Harold Swick, 20 Bay Sill Avenue.
Okay.
First of all, I'd like to thank my wife for sending me down, so that's... I do thank you. Second of all, a couple of quick apologies. Number one is I apologize I didn't bring an AV presentation. And number two is I apologize because I don't think I understood everything that went on, although I concurred with a lot. I must have missed something because a lot of things are couched in changes and modifications. Nothing appears to be concrete and definitive. Although I know it has to go through all these hoops, I think there's a lot of things still that seem to be up in the air. Again, representing myself, my wife, and many of our neighbors, I oppose the proposed subdivision for the following reasons. High-density population will not serve our community needs. Overcrowding can only lead to a variety of problems for our community. Also, we have inadequate access roads, in spite of what we talked about just now or what we heard about just now. We have inadequate green spaces. I don't believe I heard anything about a green space anywhere in this whole proposal and surrounding area. I don't believe that school space is important, but anyways. And also, I do agree. I do not believe that commercial zone should be recognized as we are currently less than 10 minutes away from gas bars, shopping centers, fast food outlets, coffee shops, and most of the restaurants that we have had in our area have either gone belly up or have left the area for whatever reason. We have a few left, and that's about it. I really don't feel that this proposal is something that we need at this time. Thank you very kindly.
Okay, thank you, sir. Next, Teresa Ricciardi.
Ricciardi.
Good evening. Name and address for the record, please, ma'am.
Good evening. My name is Teresa Ricciardi, and I live at 219 Cartwright Road, right on the corner of Agnes Arnold and Cartwright. So from my window, I can see Lila. And I'm opposed to the project because the reason is going to be too much traffic. And also, like when they were saying that they send the flyer, that they send the information, that they consult the neighborhood, I never hear nothing about it. I was at the meeting in 2008 at the church, and I put my name down when I was there, when the project was rejected. And I received a letter in December from the city, and I phoned your office, Mr. O'Shaughnessy, and they told me the project, it's not going to go forward. There is nothing. Don't worry about it. If anything is going to happen, we will let you know. And I haven't heard nothing until a couple of days ago. I went for a walk, and I happened to walk down Strasbourg, and I saw the poster, the sign. Because from the area where I live, there are no signs that this project is going ahead. There is absolutely nothing. I haven't seen nothing. I asked my neighbor, and he said, I don't know nothing about it. I would come, but it's too late. I have other plans. I cannot come. I know other neighbor of mine would have come and would have expressed their opinion, but nobody knew anything about it. He said that he consulted the neighborhood. Whatever happened on that piece of land, we're very, very close to it. So it's affecting us a lot more than the people who live, let's say, in Dunham or further down on the other side of the development. And yet, I haven't heard nothing from nobody. And if I didn't see the sign because I just happened to walk there, I wouldn't have known. I would have not been here. I think this project, it's much better than the first one, but it's so huge for one company to say, oh, we're going to do all of this, without us seeing anything as it's going forward. Like if they started, like this is a residential, like it's a residential neighborhood. I know they say that it's not feasible to do single family homes, but that's the area it's designed for residential. And I live in the area in the Maple for over 30 years. I cannot say it's no good, but it's not for that area. I wouldn't like to see so many commercial buildings, so many people come and go. And also the other thing, the more people live there are more crime in the neighborhood. So it's already we're at the point that we live in our house, but we are scared that somebody's going to come in and attack us. We don't feel safe anymore in the city. So, you feel more and more like you want to put the bar around yourself and stay there to be safe because you don't know. So that's my concern. And it is a big piece of land, and I think should be subdivided and do a little project at a time and see what people are happy with. That's my opinion. Thank you for listening.
Okay. Thank you, good ma'am. Maria Berardi. Prashan and Renu Chilakani. Good evening, sir. Name and address for the record.
Good evening. My name is Prashan Chilakani, and we live on 4 Basel Avenue. And before I start, I'm not an architect, what I would like to point out is the entire Basel Avenue is missing on that picture you're seeing. And I can see at least 5 neighbors here. And maybe I don't know what to say, but that might tell something about maybe you're not giving due importance when this thing was being planned. And, we moved into this neighborhood only last year. We bought a new house, and we didn't know that something like this, a rezoning, is coming up. If we came to know, if we would have known, then maybe we wouldn't have, actually. And as I mentioned, I live on 4 Basel Avenue, and that's next to the Olonzer Street. And what bothers me is a 5-story construction that is being proposed, because our backyards are actually just 200 feet away from the proposed 5-story construction. Not only ours, actually a couple of our neighbors are here whose backyards are facing these constructions that are proposed on the north side of this development. So actually the ones that are most affected are the people on Basel, because all these proposed high-rise constructions, the 4-story and the 5-story constructions, are facing Basel or towards the Basel Ave. So what I can say is, I would like the committee to just imagine if you are living on Basil Ave, what would you do? Would you like to see a four-story or five-story construction facing your backyard? Other than that, I can't say much.
Mr. Chalakani, I just have a quick question for you.
Yeah, sure.
Were you originally part of the advisory committee?
No.
No?
So we didn't know anything until January when we got an email. And then we did reply to the counselor's office. Actually, we phoned, left a message. And after that, we got a couple of emails.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
Otto Gebhardt?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, counselors, honored guests in the gallery who've stuck it out this long.
Sorry, sir. Name and address for the record.
Oh, name is Otto Gebhardt. I live at 31 Deepwater Cove. And I border right on the west side of this development. To be honest, I feel a little bit sandbagged here tonight because what I see from, I didn't make the last development meeting, but what I see that was advertised has changed now. But given that, feeling that there's still other things, issues I want to bring up, because now you've changed some of the zoning, specifically the C2 is now gone, but it's advertised as C2. The road no longer goes straight through. It's just a private access instead. My bigger issue is the R1. To quote, I think, early on definitions from the city's zoning, it specifically says that, let me just get that. Page 11, sentence 5, the terms shall and must are mandatory and not permissive. The word may is permissive and not mandatory. And if you go to page 90, again of the same document, it specifically says that on 138.1, if an undeveloped parcel of land is located in the R1 or R2 zoning districts, or proposed for rezoning to R1, R2 zoning districts and abuts an existing R1, R2, which we do, specifically R1, or separated from an R1 or R2 zoning district by street or right-of-way, railroad or right-of-way or waterway, and the underdeveloped parcel land must, which means it is mandatory, not permissible, be subdivided unless, subdivided unless the width and square footage of the proposed lots within 200 feet measured from the edges of the proposed subdivision of the adjacent R1, R2 zoning district is not less than the average lot width of the square footage or width to square footage of existing developed lots in the residential use in the adjacent R1, R2. I don't even know why the heck we're even debating the R1S. It should be R1L, which is still less than what we have now. I mean, I don't really have to complain much about mine because I'm butting up against some large lots. But the ones on Ulford Crescent, specifically the ones right beside Mandalay, the existing Ulford Crescent one's been there for more than 20 years. And they have a 10-foot side yard up against Mandalay, and yet we're going to allow, or they're proposing to have only a 4-foot one. Those lots are only 40 feet wide, while everything on Ulford is 50. The ones in Deepwater Cove are even wider. I got the smallest lot in the whole bay, and it's 65 feet wide. And I'm going to overlook a fence. Well, I guess I'm not too far bad now if that stays that way. But I have a problem with that. I mean, I don't even know why it's debatable. Why are they even asking for it? It says must. End of story. I'll concede and say, okay, sure, R1L is smaller. We were R1-5. So we have a 5-foot side yard. So this is only R1L is now 4-foot side yard. And it also gives way 20 feet on the frontage, the setback. And I also feel somewhat sandbagged because initially, I'll give Mr. Bueller credit. He did involve us in the process this time around compared to the previous attempt. But dictating and trying to lead us away to a certain extent is not being conducive and actually bringing us into the fold. I realized from the first meeting, the minute when he told us how much of the 15 acres was developable, he actually deducted setbacks. Well, if that's the case, then maybe the city owes me about half my property taxes back. If my front yard, side yards, and backyards is not part of my development. It's ridiculous. And the advertised proposal says a C2, which we're in the world. I'm glad they dropped that, but I can't understand why those other buildings can't be should be RMF S, not even M. I'll concede M on a restriction on the 45-foot height, but not on 60, what M is currently. So I have a serious problem with some of the things. Like I said, a lot of things have changed from the advertised. Why are we even talking about it? By the way, the city website should actually change the schedule. Today's meeting is supposed to be next week on the 14th. Although it was advertised enough to know I'm here, but at the same time, I think they should update it. They should be just R1L for those existing lots butting up against Olford and Deepwater Cove. And I really have a problem then with also all the retail or commercial on the first floor of all these buildings. Why not just make them RMFS and put a retail as a separate building entirely? Then you look at all the surface parking that's over there by the Life Lease building. That's a huge amount. That was one of the big issues last time, was about the density. This doesn't really address it. Is it better? Yes. Much better? No. I once sat the last time this came up at the corner of Mandalay and Jefferson, and in 1 hour on a Friday morning between 7 a.m. and 8 a.m., there were over 600 vehicles at that corner. And Mandalay's not even open yet. I already noticed the traffic increase on Dunham. Although I can't complain, because I love shooting down Leela now. It's fast as heck. My daughter lives way over on Tate off of Main Street in Jefferson, and I can get there in 10 minutes. So that part I like. I also have a problem if the proposal is only to do Mandalay partially to open it, then it should be paid from the Leela side, not from the Jefferson side. Because the fire station is in the corner of Manila and Leela. What are you going to make them go down Manila, go all the way down Jefferson with all those four-way stops, and then come up the other way around? And the traffic? It's just a feeder road. I think there's a big problem there. I think Mandalay is going to go ahead. This should go right through, right from the start. As Councillor O'Shaughnessy said, it should be, Mandalay should be done before anything else is done. And I do believe the R1 should be R1L, not R1S, as stipulated by the plan and the bylaw. There's no allowance for R1S, not when it butts up an existing R1L. So, although this is a large improvement, I'm still very much against this development. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, sir.
Yep.
Any questions?
Okay. Questions? Thank you.
Lorian Coalition. Okay.
Good evening, Councillors. It's Lorian Coalition, and I live at 28 Basil Avenue, which is a common thread this evening. I very much believe that our street has been left out of the fold in a lot of this communication that supposedly went on. And just to point out, I know some in the gallery will know, but Basil Avenue runs along what was supposedly to be C2, but on the opposite side of Leela Avenue. So we would be seeing a lot of what is now this proposed development. So to echo Councillor O'Shaughnessy's concern with respect to commercial, that was my biggest concern coming here this evening, because what exactly would go in there? You can also take a look at the corner of Pipeline and Leela Avenue and see some small commercial activity that takes place there. But I will also say that throughout the neighborhood, we've also understood that those businesses are not doing very well. So I also am concerned that perhaps not full market analysis has been conducted before these development plans have been drawn. I'm also concerned with respect to the number of units that we're discussing. If you also take a look at the corner of Pipeline and Leela Avenue, you'll also see several condominium developments there with, on any day, probably 20 different signs saying that they're still for sale, and they're still potentially building yet another development there as well. So because we haven't been, or I, at least my family has not been involved in this process up until now, I just want to express some other concerns that we have. Traffic's already been mentioned, noise has been mentioned, sight lines been mentioned, but I will go back and say that I purchased our home in 2009. It was built in 2007. So similar to the fellow at 4 Basel, not the first individual to own the home there, but that is sort of commonplace in the neighborhood. A lot of people will build the home and then sell it soon thereafter. So the idea of original communications coming out in April of 2008 to still think that those similar individuals are involved in the process now is an unreasonable assumption. I also believe that the lapse between April 2008 and April 2010 without any other further appeal to the neighborhood for feedback, aside from saying if you had already shown interest before, that is also unreasonable. It should have been another extend of a hand out to the neighborhood to see their further opinion. I also believe that Amber Trails itself has quite the neighborhood aesthetic, and to tell people that that's where you live, there is an element of prestige. And I think to have this in along our back backyard is going to diminish that prestige as it currently exists. And as you can see, I'm quite concerned about property value there as well. Being a young individual and investing a significant amount into the Winnipeg marketplace, it's a bit of a gamble when I start hearing that these are things that could potentially be changing for us. Basel Avenue also has many young children, and there have been appeals to put up children at play signs, and I'm also concerned that this extension of Mandalay and the construction, the traffic flow that will sort of lead to will also become a bit of a danger for the families in the neighborhood. So finally, I guess I'd also like to say I'm not opposed to development as a whole, but I think, as has been previously mentioned, a development in keeping with the prestige and dynamic of the neighborhood is warranted, whether it be the townhouses or single-family units. That's something that we, I suppose, are appealing for. Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you very much. Allison Harmon. Okay. Good evening. Name and address for the record, please.
My name is Allison Harmon, and I live at 69 Cairns Crescent. I am opposed to the variance. I already wrote a letter opposing to the proposed development as it appeared in the newspaper, but after seeing the variance sign, I feel I need to oppose to that in person. My house is adjacent to the proposed development, and I'm opposed to having a 40-foot width behind me, adjacent to my property, as my lot size is 55 feet in width. My lot is adjacent to the proposed lot 1 to 8, block 1 on the variance notice. I would like to have only one neighbor behind me, not two or three. I have the quote from page 18, but the previous person already read it about having existing developments be mirrored. There is no mention of the variance at any of the meetings except the word came up once with no explanation by the city planner at the last meeting in August. The lots on Cairns Crescent are at least 55 feet in width, and I feel very strongly that the proposed lots should mirror the existing lots. I would also like the depth of the lots to be at least the same amount as we have now. Thank you very much for your time.
Okay. Susan Soriano. Okay. Pick Ching Lee. Robert Duer. Maria Duer. Okay. Yeah, she's coming around. Good evening. Name and address for the record, please.
My name is Maria Dewar, and I'm an adjacent neighbor at 27 Deepwater Cove on the west side. of these subject lands. Good evening. Good evening, Councillor O'Shaughnessy, Councillor Pactican, administration, all residents, and Santa Fe Developments. So much of the content of what I wanted to address has already been addressed this evening. And so at the sake of repeating much of it, allow me to go through what I've prepared just to pick up some points that perhaps I would like to elaborate a bit on. I have lived at this address for 13 years. I, too, have grown up in this community. I'm a North End girl, always will be. And I've been educated in the Seven Oaks School Division as well. So I have seen the expansion of the Maples area, Garden City, Amber Trails. 6 years ago, I'm going to say it, in 2004, an offer was made for development on these lands. It was denied as stated in the current planning report on page 10. I'm going to quote it. Lord Selkirk, West Caledonian Community Committee, considered the proposed development to be not in keeping with the density, height, and character of the surrounding neighborhood. Subsequently, the application was denied. And at the time, I did want to see an all single-family residential development infill these lands. I understand times have changed. I agree with that. I'm not opposed to the development of these lands. Being an adjacent neighbor over the 13 years, I know it's been referred to as the field. I have always seen it as privately owned land. Many of, not just myself, but a few of the neighbors here, perhaps in Amber Trails as well, has called the fire department. The fire department for the past 10 years didn't know how to even reach these lands. They've come through my yard. They've come through others' neighbors' yards. And there's a lot of high-risk, dangerous, mischievous activity that gets attracted to this property. It is time to develop them. It is time to develop them for our area. It is surrounded completely now. Amber Trails has extended, moved forward. What phase are we into with Amber Trails? This is not about Amber Trails tonight. But we have Lila, and I would like to see some good development plan go on here. I think this plan, if toned down, could fit in. It could fit in. I don't agree with you. I do agree with you, forgive me, Councillor O'Shaughnessy, that I like the idea of a little mix going on. I would prefer to see our transition buffer zone perhaps be a little bigger with single family. That's my preference. It doesn't make me right, but that's my preference. I want to address the transition buffer zone because that's where I live. Special boundary conditions, transition buffer zone. I agree that single-family residential lots is the correct choice. By the way, I want to add, I was on the advisory committee, just for record. This is a vital subject, and it's imperative that this buffer zone be protected fairly to all the existing residents, which are abutting the subject lands. Based on the current application, and I did correspond this as well, previous letter I submitted for public record regarding to lot 15 and 16. You know, perhaps other members of the community and even during the advisory meetings may have viewed, well, you know, Mary, you have nothing to complain about. Look at the lot you got adjacent to your land. Well, the first card that was shown to me was when the city did recommend that the developer drop three lots that have to be currently extended into the green space area. Little Tots, is that what the park is called? I'm not sure. But the developer will...
Tot lot.
The first thing I thought of, and I have to be honest, and if Pardeep chooses to be my neighbor, I welcome him. Absolutely. If he decides to use lot 15 and 16 for personal use, and he can afford to do that on these lots, by all means, why would I object to that? However, when I heard that card being displayed at the meeting, I realized, well, you know, there are costs incurred here. What if these two lots have to be further subdivided? So I did communicate with Pardeep, and he was willing, and he agreed by email that he would agree to not further subdivide these lots into three lots. And I thought, well, you know, how can I complain about that? I think it would be compatible. What I'm trying to gain for myself is some assurance and some peace of mind that it does remain compatible to my existing lot. I can't speak for other neighbors, but I also agree with one of the previous residents this evening that we should all be treated fairly. So I was told by two previous city planners, I've gone through three in the last 6 years, that to be very specific, I went, what I'd like to ask, I'll read it, that way I stay focused. Based on the current application, I'm skipping forward. All right. Santa Fe agreed there would be no more than three lots if these two lots, 15 and 16, would be subdivided. I would like this condition to be considered and inserted into the zoning development agreement for my peace of mind. I believe this concept plan will have future changes, and if subdividing these two lots becomes a reality, I am requesting a lot width of the back of lot 15, which is directly adjacent to myself, no less than 22.647 meters, which is approximately 74.17 feet. I will agree to further discuss these dimensions if necessary. I don't, you know, zoning language I'm not fluent with it, so I don't know where that would be included in this report. So I would ask administration to perhaps consider it. So that is one of my concerns. I really do admire Pardeep for his creativity. I can't deny that. I mean, this is a vision that, you know, if it was toned down and keeping with the existing integrity of our neighborhood, it just might work. It could be a good fit, but there's still work to do. And yes, there are less units. I believe the total number of units, correct me if I'm wrong, currently stands at 230, not including the residential. You know, when you look at it in those numbers, it doesn't seem so bad. And renderings and diagrams all look great on paper, but now have the residents of Amber Trails, myself, I really have to ask, you know, how will it impact me directly? What's the adverse impact on me directly? And we all have to ask that. And also with the neighborhood, well, to me, the first thought that comes to mind is because of future market conditions and sales, economy. Santa Fe did state as well, this might take 2 to 6 years. Well, of course, because how can we predict what the demands will be? So we, the area residents, even if we are in support with conditions, which I am, but what is the extent of the conditions? I mean, someone has to make this decision. In fact, tonight when I came in and I voted on the ballot, I stood for the last 5 days tossing back and forth. Where is the checkoff box for? I do support with conditions, changes, but I don't completely oppose the development, and I don't completely of the land, and I don't completely further working with Santa Fe. I don't want to see him walk away. I think if things can be worked out with residents, and of course offsetting his costs really matter to him. I understand that. But at what price, as you quoted Councillor O'Shaughnessy? I want to target one other point. A North Point Lookout, Block 6, correct me, please, anybody, if I'm misquoting this. On page 8, the administrative recommendations, paragraph 2, section A, subsection 7 states, and this would be for North Point Lookout. Yes, I was there at all the meetings, Pardeep. I could have spoken up. I think I did in the beginning, but this is so much to take on, and I was trying to take it all in and wrap my head around it and say, you know what, this could work. Can I just continue one?
Yeah,
Thank you. On page 8, as I referred, it directly states, there shall be no more than 70 dwelling units and buildings. There shall be no more than 70 dwelling units. I'm referring to Block 6. Yes, and buildings shall not exceed 60 feet in height on proposed Block 6. I am objecting to the height of 60 feet. 60 feet is too high and big. I propose that this particular building be no higher than 45 feet, which is in keeping with the similar heights of blocks 4, 5, and 7, which are 45 feet, as indicated in point 6 of the admin report, recommendation report. My own home height, I figure, is approximately 17 feet high. I have a bungalow. I'm guessing between 16 and 17 feet high. So roughly three more times would be the height. Now, I have to ask myself this, too. How does this directly impact me? I mean, I've got this wonderful 131-foot lot behind me currently. I've got the lot recommendation, or the lot are right, the lots right now will be 120 feet deep. I have the turnaround cul-de-sac separating me. Lots of concrete before I'm even looking at that building. I just can't wrap my head around the four stories. There are some three stories. Is it three stories?
On your side.
Are you speaking about the ovals, Councillor O'Shaughnessy?
It's only the one, I think, by the church.
I understand it as being four.
We'll find out.
All right. So that is...
It was 45 feet. Block 6, isn't that the one on the corner?
Yeah.
That's block 3. Okay, you're right. I got it.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Block numbers.
Yeah. So, you know, I could have brought this up at the residential meetings. There was so much that I was trying to accept, because I want to see these lands built. I'm tired of voles eating my sod each and every winter. Now we have someone in the area running around with guns shooting geese. It's too much. 13 years of it. But we have to give consideration to what's compatible. I strongly believe that there are builders, I'll start wrapping up, who would purchase larger lots that would match existing lots. There's a lot for the developer to work with here, especially if he is asking for allowances. You know, a 120-foot lot with closely matching lot widths of the abutting properties would also provide opportunity for diverse home designs, which may prevent the repetitive nature of roof heights, two-story roof heights, or may allow for more space between houses. Now, I know today land market value has changed a lot since I purchased my lot 13 years ago. I realize that. But people are paying incredible prices for lots and money. I mean, even across in the North development, look what their homes are costing them. We live in a really nice neighborhood. We've got residents here. They're fixing their roofs. They're fixing up their backyards. They're adding sunrooms. They're doing all kinds of things. I believe the south side of Leela and the north side of Leela as well, we have a really nice integrity of single-family detached homes. And I believe that larger lots than 45 feet, 40 feet along, for in fairness to the encompassing properties, would offer a good thing for potential homeowners. Overall, it would be more compatible to the character of the existing adjacent and neighborhood homes on the south side of Leela. Now, commercial has been looked at tonight. I know that I don't agree. From what I understood, and Glenn, you confirmed this for me earlier, but we couldn't get into it before the meeting. If I can just say this, according to the admin report, and if it's been amended, I understand. Each of the buildings has an allowance for commercial space. on block four, well, no, I'll forget that. How much do we really need in commercial space in this location? I agree. As far as doctors, do we have doctors in the province that are really looking for commercial space? Maybe we need the doctors. And I noticed as I was driving home from the office today that in front of Seven Oaks Hospital, there's quite a bit of excavation of land.
It's a parking lot.
Thank you.
I asked.
You know what? I had to phone a nurse I know that works there. I said, quickly tell me what is that before I show up to the meeting. It's a parking lot. Okay. Carefully considering the parking here as well. I think the adverse impact, if there isn't sufficient parking, if I'm correct, I believe it's one underground parking unit per resident. If I might be wrong, I don't know. They have visitors. There will be businesses, employees, patrons as well that we have to consider.
Just like you. You know the law says you can only have two cars on your driveway?
Because
Two. The law is two.
Because of the approach? Is that the reason? The city's approach?
No, because it's hideous. It used to be one. We changed it to two.
Yeah.
Another. Because nobody uses their garages for cars.
Isn't that the truth?
Another, go ahead.
You know, the overflow on existing residential streets, too, is a concern. I want to see Santa Fe build an appropriate development here. I really do. I believe he has the ability, he has the mind, he has the energy. I also recognize that he has to recover his costs as well. Is there anything else? Because I think the gong is going to sound right away.
Oh, it did.
Exterior finishing was never discussed in any of our residential meetings. It is a concern. I trust it would be kept with integrity.
Those plan approvals always come back to the community committee. It'll be the council of the day when they're built.
All right. I guess that's it, because I don't want to keep repeating what other people have already said. So the North Point Lookout Building is a concern to me. I want to thank you. I wish you all the very best, Councillor O'Shaughnessy. Thank you for serving our community for the past number of years. I'm sure you will be missed. And I don't know how you're going to get this all out of your blood. I'm sure you'll be reading the paper every day and looking for a lot of the activities going on. Thank you, and please consider everybody's viewpoints this evening, and that's it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Next.
El-Alamin Hanif.
My name is Amin Hanif, 40 Vassal Avenue. I'd just like to point out that I live on the corner of Strathborough and Leela. Strathborough and Leela.
Strathborough.
The one thing that I do like is the fact that they do want to open up Mandalay. I do like the new developments and everything else, but the one thing that they've overseen is the fact that we can't, like with the new buildings there, they're going to be looking right into our backyards and everything else. We are a GenStar community, and I just think, you know, building a brand new home there and having, you know, four stories, I guess it was the C2 zoning, I'm not too sure about it, block.
I know which one.
Yeah.
Block
so
four.
I can see that Mandalay itself, or the, you know, the residents in Olford and around the corners there, they've got homes that are backing on there that would basically be blocking most of those buildings. But I wouldn't mind seeing if they can probably do something along the back side, or, you know, having houses back on to Leela, as do ours. And then what that would do is actually block off a little bit more of what we have to look at, maybe moving some things around. Does that make any sense? Does that make any sense? I can point it out. Yeah, I can point it out really quick.
I know what you're saying. I'm just saying it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't?
No. because then, okay, then it's all single-family, small-lot housing.
And then
there's two or three big buildings in the middle.
Well, you see, my thing is, no is that whoever wants to purchase their, you know, lots there, they know that they're purchasing lots overlooking these things.
Yeah.
Now, if, I'm not saying, like, make it like a sell program, you know, like making it like a sell, but I do like some of the aspects of it, but the fact that, you know, I built a home there. I didn't know what was going on there. We only had 2 weeks. I came unprepared, so I sat here for since 5 o'clock till now. But I don't want people looking into my backyard and stuff like that. So if they could take that in consideration, I don't even think that we're even close to... we're not even close to being... finished with this. I've attended the meeting in 2008. No one's ever sent anything to my home. I've filled out one of their forms at their meeting at the church there. So I just really felt that we were unaware, and I kind of feel that we're kind of pushed out. That's it. Okay.
Thank you, sir.
David Chang and Hung Chow. Mr. and Mrs. Bernardo Lingusen, Magna Witkowski, Calvin Bertniak. Okay. Hi, name and address for the record, please.
My name is Calvin Bertniak. I live at 39 Deepwater Cove, and I'm adjacent to the property. First of all, I'd like to say thank you, councillors, for letting me speak, and to everyone here. Just going to make a couple quick points. I lived in the area on Deepwater for 14 years now. I have lived in the area surrounding it for the last 43 years, gone through schooling through the whole Seven Oaks School Board. As other people have said, the bylaw 138, sentence 1, adjacent property to be mirrored images or whatever you want to call it. The biggest thing I wanted to point out is that it hasn't really been mentioned about parking. On his plans that he had submitted on the east side of the properties, he had 257 above-ground stalls, and on the west side he had 308 above-ground stalls. So that, to me, that just looks like a big parking lot. That's one issue that I wanted to point out that no one really mentioned. Access to Mandalay was going to be through from Leela to Mandalay is fine, but the parking lots, they have three sections that are coming into his properties that are going to just be congestion spots on Leela as it is for what he's proposing. Sight lines is one thing that other people have mentioned, and his revised plans, the lot 15 and lot 16, should be probably listed as estate lots. That way he wouldn't be able to take them back and make them into three or two
can't
lots.
Can't anyway.
Pardon me?
He can't anyway.
Okay.
You approve this, that's the size of the lot. There would have to be another advertised public hearing to change any okay. lot on there by 1 inch.
Okay, and then the biggest thing that I've been with the issues is just the height of the buildings. The biggest thing for me is, like, I mean, I know he had the proposal that been posted is totally different from what the one he has submitted. So I sort of was unaware of certain things that were going through. I was on the advisory committee. He did send me some information and let me know and fill me in, but again, other people have not had that information, and it was sort of being dumped on them at that time as well. So that's the main things. Other than that, it's the only thing I wanted to bring up. Thank you for your time.
Okay. Thank you. Rafaela Lecompte. Vincent Chang. Okay, anybody else in opposition to the application that wants to speak? Okay, those for information. Curtis on 36. Okay. Name and address for the record.
Yeah, Curtis Ave, 36 Basil. Sorry about that. Just have to apologize here. I wasn't expecting this type of change in info, so I just made some notes as I went along on my phone. First thing I'd like to say as a resident of Basil Avenue, it's interesting, there's a lot of us here tonight, and I think a lot of us saw that sign for the first time, possibly with the exception of myself, and I think I can explain that to everyone, and it's because there was a person earlier dropping about pamphlets of information about this proposed development, at which point I contacted Santa Fe Development as well as Mr. O'Shaughnessy's office, and I talked to Santa Fe. And the feedback I got that you will be contacted, but right now it's only important for us to contact the residents directly backing onto the property, and that we would be brought in at a later date to discuss these type of things. At which point I asked them to include me on the emails so I could be informed, and they did that. But I also find it funny that all the people that live beside me didn't get nothing, ever, until a sign was put up tonight. So I guess the question I'd like to raise is, when there's a development that involves 4- and 5-story buildings going in behind us, just like it is people on Oldford and Keynes, to these gentlemen here, what makes me any less important than them when I've still put, you know, my wife and I put our life savings into our home? And they're just going to come along and do whatever they want without contacting anyone. And I think as someone that's worked since they're 19 years old and paid for everything they have, I think we deserve a little bit more than that. And I really do think that it's, you know, when you talk about community, it's people before profit. And why should everybody there suffer at the expense of one company? Yeah, we need homes in there and we need the road opened up, but to just try and backdoor it on people that live there and to say Basil's just a blip, it's just a corner, when the whole damn street backs on the entire new development, it's nothing. Okay, and it also touches down on corners of other developments at Amber Trails, and I'd be willing to bet if people in Basil don't know about it, those other people don't. I came here with an open mind for information. That's why I put down information. And when I saw some of the tactics tonight, then I chose to be opposed to this because I don't think it reflects well on every resident in the area. I don't think everyone's had their say on this. I don't really think it's fair to the people that have been there. A couple other points I've made to sort of back that up is there was a proposal earlier in, I believe, Rivercrest, and one of the things was people bought lots after this large development was proposed. So that information was there. People on Basil Avenue built their homes in 2007, okay, before anything was ever proposed, before there was any open house. And just to be left out of the mix, I don't see how that's fair. Similar to that same one where there was only one person from the opposition, there's a lot of opposition here tonight. Okay, so I think that sends a message, you know, maybe that one went through, you know, I feel bad there's one guy here, you know, voicing his opinion, but for this development, there's a lot of people in this building tonight, and I think, you know, it reflects why, and there's still some issues to be dealt with. One thing that wasn't really mentioned was increasing population about the schools. I have some friends that are teachers in 7-0 school division, and the numbers are high in those schools, Arthur Wright, O.V. Jewett. Amber Trails is still developing, so there's going to be more homes there. There's going to be, you know, 250, let's say, units here. Okay, I think school is going to become an issue for people, especially that have young families. Another big one that comes up is property values. And this always seems to get glossed over as it's nothing. It won't affect your area. And the question I like to ask to the people that are saying that it won't affect our property values is, why are these people here? It's a big part of it. People have invested a lot of money, a lot of their time, building their homes for that value, whether it be to retire, whether it be to sell it and move to a bigger house due to a growing family. Why should they take a hit on their properties when there's adjustments that can be made to that plan? Okay, there's a lot of concrete in there that can be put into roads, okay, if that's an issue, because it seems that the cost of the roads seem to be a bit of a sticking point. There's a lot of different information from people in the crowd, and I think we've seen that tonight again with some of the plans that were introduced. There were some changes that people weren't expecting. And it was very hard to paint a picture of this when you look at that from up there, and you're supposed to make a decision whether you're going to stay quiet or you're going to express how you feel. I don't think that does anybody in this room justice. It's not set in stone. We don't know what the heck it's going to look like. They're asking for commercial, but then it wants to be converted to family after. So we don't know. And then how can we gauge the units in the traffic if it's not going to be stores, if it's going to be people? I agree the commercial won't work. I'd like to see more houses in there, particularly backing onto Basil as well, because even though there's a street between us, I think there's still a very similar issue to the people on Keynes and Olford, backyard privacy. Okay, and I think that is something that drastically affects the value of a home. I have a brother selling a house because he doesn't have backyard privacy. So I think it is a concern. Traffic concerns, that's been talked a lot. I don't really want to go over that again. Has there been any research done, to support the demand for the number of units? Or is it simply, let's cram in as many as we can and make as much money as we can and not care about people that already live there, that have had homes there for over 20 years, even over 3 years? Okay, so I think that those type of things can be looked at to, possibly meet some of the other people halfway and come down with a little bit of the stories. I think there's a huge difference between 3 stories behind you and 4 stories behind you and the impression it gives as you drive down Leland, drive down that street. Again, I touched on that a little bit. I think it comes down to, a business, profiting off, obviously, this open land, but I think it's going to come at the expense of all the existing homeowners. Again, the commercial thing, I know that was brought up. Residents are kind of opposed to that. I mean, restaurants and things like that typically don't do very well. You can ask the Olive Garden, Red Lobster, Brannigan's. So I don't think slapping any restaurant, those type of places in there is going to really excel. And again, that ties into maybe just looking at a little more space with homes. And also at the request of a previous speaker, wanted to mention that Amber Trails does have a lot of families that perhaps have English as a second language that, maybe aren't familiar with these type of things when it comes to zoning. I got an email from Mr. Downey today to look at the agenda and things like that. If you struggle with English, it's going to be very difficult to decipher that type of information, those type of laws and things like that. And you're not going to know what's going on, and you're probably not going to show up and voice your opinion. But I don't think, again, that should make them any less important than anyone else that does, come down here tonight, because they've still invested as a homeowner. And I think they're entitled to the same things that we all are. And I think what we want is just to be, brought in a little bit and have a little bit of say and maybe cut down the size of the buildings. And lastly, I'd like to say that I know I'm almost over. I know obviously all the things I said are in my favor, and it's not directly just to go right against Santa Fe and try to stop them from, doing what they want to do there. I just think that, there needs to possibly be a little bit more of a step, into the home direction and maybe tone down a little bit of that traffic, a little bit of the number of units. And, I appreciate the fact that they are trying to develop this. And, you know, it's a business, and by all means, they have to do what works for them. And I would never, you know, step up and speak up just to stop somebody from, you know, making money or doing what they do. That's not what here, and that's not what I'm about. I just want to make sure that what they do still protects me and the investment that I've made as a homeowner, so that when it's time for me to move on, I can still, you know, cash in on the investment that my family's made. So that's all I'd like to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Louis Roca. Okay. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak on the matter? Okay. I'll call back the applicant, Mr. Buller.
Only one person can come back. Pick your person. Only one.
Only one?
There's two of you. As long as he doesn't consult, he can sit in the big chair.
He can stand beside me.
Quietly.
Ooh, well, that's a lot to respond to. We're getting very late, and we were hoping to take a little recess, but we want to get it over with. Either way, counselors, I've worked 2 years in trying to satisfy neighbors, working with the plan, changing, looking at the numbers, the cost, and different aspects of the plan. I knew right from the get-go that I wasn't going to satisfy everyone. And I understand there's concerns. I was hoping that I can provide enough information and education with the relation to this site and the development that we're proposing that I would change some minds, and I think I have, although not 95% or 100%. The one thing that I think the residents would have to agree with me, even the ones that were opposed, that were part of the process, is that I did provide them with all information. Now, I'll start with Mr. Abt first from the last. I have documentation, which I don't think we need to get into, but I like to state that for every meeting minutes, I copied Mr. Abb on it, invited him to every advisory committee meeting because he expressed interest on it, okay? He did not attend single meeting. The last email conversation that we had was that, as I recall, was that, sorry, I couldn't attend the last meeting. Can you tell me what's going on? I said, we're having an open house. Please attend on August 21st. I didn't see Mr. Abb there. Now, I'll just basically look at there's four or five residents from Basil Street. A couple of people have mentioned that they moved recently. Now, I can go back and have another meeting 3 months from now, and I think six people out of the neighborhood would move again. I don't know that I can continue anymore as far as consultation goes, so my request is that whatever decision you make, that you make that decision tonight. Now, I like to, as far as the residents of Basil Street, I have, if you look at the presentation copy that I provided, you can see the people that were involved in the advisory committee. We had one person from way up there in Morava way, even they attended every meeting. They're not here today. We had people from Dunham, and most of it, we had a very mix of residents from around the development. There was a newspaper posting more than 2 weeks ago. There was a billboard there. I didn't receive any call from any of the residents from Basil Avenue. I understand their concerns, but if you heard some of the other residents that were, for example, Mrs. Dewar, Allison Harmon, even Mr. Gebhardt, they were involved in the process, so they had more of a individual items that they wanted to address rather than the general. So I can't go and comment on all of the items that they expressed because I took the guidance from the advisory committee and we worked with them. That was the process we followed, and that's why we're here today. Now, I'd like to address Mr. Gebhardt's comments with regards to being R1S, as well as Allison Harmon, who is a resident of Keynes Crescent. Their main concerns is the size of the single-family lots. Now, we all understand that that neighborhood has been there for 25, 30 years. They've lived there with an open field in their backyard. And their concerns are that they should be the same size. Now, obviously, in the last 30 years, the market has changed. Where it used to be typical of 50 feet by 100-foot lot, these days, 40-foot lot by 120 is your typical configuration. Now, they're going to have larger backyards, but the houses are closer together, given the economies today. To say that I could match their property lines, I don't think so, sir. There's a few reasons that you can't. One, as I said, the market has changed. In order to sell a 55-foot lot, I'd have to be selling it for $130,000. Number two, if somebody's going to buy a 55, 56, 72-foot wide lot, they're going to build a 3,000, 3,500, 4,000 square foot house on it. Okay, and I think the value of the property is more indicative of the transition zone or being compatible with the existing residential neighborhood rather than the size of the lot. The new houses on those lots, we're talking about $300,000 and up for those houses. The existing houses, their values are somewhere between $230,000 to $240,000 to a little over $300,000. So, that's what I can address. As far as Mr. Gebhardt's comments, we try to orient the development to provide the proper transition zone. We worked very hard in toning down and bringing the densities to 234 units, which we believe is compatible with the neighborhood. Some services are needed. We want to do a variety of housing options. There was various comments made as far as, is there a demand for it? Now, is there demand for that commercial? Do we see stores empty and so forth? Well, that's something that comes out of my pocket, and I have to determine that before I build it and spend the money on it. And if I can't fill it, then I won't be able to build it. So a lot depends on market demand. We are at a zoning process here. I'd like the council to consider and approve our application so that we can move forward and see this development happen. I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Blair. Any questions of the delegation?
No.
If not, we'll make our recommendation.
We're hearing both concurrently. We'll deal first with the DAS as ad. Mr. Chairman, I'd move the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All those in favor, contrary, carried.
Move the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All those in favor,
concluded.
Contrary, carried.